The Wintrust Business Lunch. We start today with Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Think it's another edition of the good numbers are bad numbers, and the bad numbers are good numbers, Mark.
Good to be with you, John. Well, there's something here for everybody. I was thinking before I came on here that one of the ironies of a mixed report here, just a few days ahead, of course, of the election day is, you know, you can kind of make of this report what you might want, but from an economic standpoint, I think we still have to acknowledge the job market remains fairly strong. We were just coming off of a decades low matching unemployment rate of 3.5%. We did tick up a little here, and, you know, still the number of jobs added on the month slightly exceeded expectations, and you had some upward revisions that gave you a little more oomph there.
Yeah,
but you know, we know the outlook is quite cloudy.
An example would be wages are up, which, you know, in a vacuum would be, hey, that's a good thing. People are making more money, but that's inflationary, and it's exactly what we're trying to tamp down, right?
Well, yes. And of course, I attended the Federal Reserve News Conference hosted by Chairman Powell earlier in the week. And, you know, he's concerned about the mismatch of supply and demand of labor, where we recently heard that job openings actually had risen to 10.7 million. And we had a little more than 6 million officially unemployed in this report. So obviously, you know, you can't fill those nearly 11 million jobs with those 6 million people. Now, that's not a perfect way of looking at it, for sure, but, you know, that is among the many things that the Fed is looking at and saying this is not sustainable, and we will not allow it to be sustained.
Mark Hamrick joins us from Bankrate on the Wintrust Business Lunch. What other numbers are of concern or note to you today, Mark? What are you looking at?
Well, John, just from our everyday lives where, you know, obviously the food and restaurant scene around Chicago is so important as it is in many areas of the country, it's quite remarkable that one of the underperformers in the number of jobs that were added today, in my mind, was leisure and hospitality, which added only 35,000 jobs last month, and 20,000 of those were basically in the hotel space. And believe it or not, John, that category, leisure and hospitality, is still 1.1 million jobs shy of pre-pandemic levels. And, you know, who among us haven't experienced something along the lines of, you know, going to one of those establishments and wondering, you know, how can they still be so understaffed? And that's among the many challenges that businesses across the country are continuing to experience. On the positive side, though, there was fairly good distribution of jobs added across categories here: business and professional services, healthcare, manufacturing, also a strong performer. So those are some of the interesting areas when we look at the jobs that were added last month.
Glad to hear about the manufacturing, medical, for that matter, really any category. But it is kind of a conundrum, isn't it? Do you think that the potential employees in leisure and hospitality are just on the sidelines waiting for more money? You know, not necessarily poised to take a job, but we might start to attract more job takers if we paid them better, which, you know, you and I are going to have to pay more when we go out or when we go to a hotel. But is that it? They just need to pay them more?
I don't think that's the only thing, John. Remember, we sort of blew the economy up in March and April of 2020, you know, with those 22 million jobs lost. And so people scattered to the degree that either they were going to be unemployed maybe for a while, maybe for a week. And many of those may have said sort of see you later with respect to this industry because, you know, it is very demanding. Sometimes the shift work alone can sort of want people to stay away. And it doesn't provide the flexible hours that, let's say, a 40-hour-a-week job would, nor can you work remote there. So, yeah, I do think that obviously better pay or better working conditions are part of the recipe there. But, you know, more broadly, John, one of the tremendous challenges that we face in this country is a lack of labor supply. And that's a function of lack of legal immigration in recent years. Some of those pipelines have simply been broken. And one good example of that from an unintended consequence is, for example, Russia and Ukraine not sending as many workers to the United States as they did before. The other part is that a lot of people exited the workforce during this time. Some people retired early, and we just have a lot of challenges on the labor supply front, and some of this may be rather long lasting.
What do you see for the markets then after the turn of the year?
Well, John, first of all, we are entering into a period when the stock market does tend to be seasonally strong, meaning just some of the investment patterns that relate to the calendar can work in its favor, and that also correlates to the midterm election years. But, you know, when I'm asked point blank about the outlook for the market, I would say it's difficult to make a fundamental case in favor of stocks for the short term here when the Federal Reserve is saying, you know how high we thought interest rates were going to go before? Well, now we think they're actually going to go higher than that and may stay there longer. That's not a tremendously conducive environment. But for most Americans, the reason why they're in the market is for retirement savings, and that really dictates staying away from the notion of timing the market. You know, you have to be right twice. You have to be right on when to get out, and you have to be right getting back in. And most people can't even be right once when that question is raised.
What's happening with credit card rates then? Are they through the roof as well?
Well, it depends on how low your roof is. the bank rate average this week is zeroing in on 19% for the best qualified borrowers with new offers. And for retail credit cards, as my colleague Ted Rossman's been talking about recently, we just did some work on that, and we're finding that those rates can be as high as 29%. Here we are in the holiday season. So
really?
Yeah, really need to pay those babies off if we can.
And you said for the best customers.
Qualified, yeah. Exactly.
So I guess I don't know much about how credit cards work. If you and I go to the same credit card company or bank to get their card, your rate will be different than mine?
Well, John, it might be the other way around, but, my point is that it's based on your credit score, right? Oh. And that gets to your payment history. And so we all have a deep electronic record with that if we've been in the economy as a paying customer for some time. In recent times, things like how you pay your rent and your utility bills have been increasingly mixed into that. But, yeah, it's really about them trying to price what they would call risk, meaning are you going to be good for the money?
Yeah, but I thought that, they'll advertise a rate, or do they advertise the rates? But I thought if I went out and got a Chase card or a Wells Fargo card or whoever's card and it's 19 or 18 or 20%, you would get the very same terms that I would get if we were carrying the same card in our wallet.
No, it's based on your qualification, probably in the fine print there. It says based on, a number of different factors, including your credit score.
And some people, depending on the card and the person, could be paying 29% on a credit card.
Oh, well, mid-20s would not be that unusual, especially on cash advances or people that have had a tough time. So
that's cuckoo. That's cuckoo bananas, because that's a person. You know why they have that's proof that they are going to have trouble paying the card. So charging them more interest is only going to make it more difficult for them to pay the card.
Well, I would just simply say that, number one, if you're going to loan money to someone who you think may have less of a chance of paying it back, then you have to assess the other factors that are going to go into the cost of that financing. And that's really true across the entire loan space. Mm-hmm. It's true of mortgages. It's true of home equity loans, personal loans, auto loans. The auto loan, for example, these days, let's say it might be around 6.5% for a new car. But I've gone to dealerships and asked them how much they were charging people or getting loans for people on the floor, and high teen percentages were not that unusual.
Really? Wow.
For people who were not good candidates for lending. So really, that's why credit scores are so important. We've got a lot about that on our site at Bankrate. And so if you think you might be in the market for any kind of a loan, attending to that credit score is really important.
Mark Hamrick from Bankrate.com. Mark, always interesting. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Now, this sounds like fun, too. Clayton Stanley is the director of operations at the new Puttery in Chicago. It's going to be in the West Loop over on Randolph Street with all the cool restaurants and whatnot going on over there. Hey, Clayton, you're on WGN Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thank you guys for having me.
So are you a Dallas guy? Your company's out of Texas, right? But are you in Chicago? What's your deal?
So, yeah, our company is out of Dallas, Texas. However, I currently live in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I was born and raised in Georgia.
I see. So you know your golf out there then, don't you?
Oh, you know, for sure, absolutely.
This place is like 23,000 square feet. Did I read that right?
Oh, absolutely, man. It's two stories, two nine-hole mini golf courses, some lounges, a rooftop terrace, all that good stuff.
So tell us a little bit about this business. We've featured some of your competitors here on the Wintrust Business Lunch before. This seems to be a very popular space these days, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, even what we do right now, we think we have a really great concept. You know, people have been enjoying it. You know, we've opened up, you know, not only in Dallas, but also in Charlotte. Our Washington, D.C. location is open, and recently we opened down in Houston, Texas, too, as well. So really glad we got this train going.
So tell me what it is, then. I mean, it's golf, it's cocktails, it's food. Talk a little bit about what you guys are going to feature.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, it's a modern spin on a classic game of mini golf. We have two nine-hole mini golf courses here in Chicago, and they're themed courses, so they're really made to, you know, immerse you into what the theme of the course really is. You know, for example, one of our beautiful courses here is our library course, and, you know, we like to say there's nothing really about a book in a library course, but it's a beautiful course. It really looks like a real library, and you get a chance to play mini golf as well.
So. I see. So it's not I'm not hitting golf shots into a mat. I'm not driving and playing a course. I'm physically, literally playing the course with a ball and a putter. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're just playing ball. You know, you're just putting the ball into the hole, but, you know, with a bunch of different obstacles and things like that that have to do with the theme of the course, too, as well. You know, for example, on this third floor, we have the ski lodge, and you're kind of, you know, you're hitting golf balls through the Rocky Mountains, or, you know, there's a ski lift on there. So, you know, things like that, too, as well, to really immerse you into the experience.
So you said that the Chicago location will have two themed courses. What are the themes that our courses are going to be?
Gotcha. Yeah, so Chicago has the library, and then they also have the lodge, which is kind of the feel of your Colorado ski lodge when you, you know, go to Aspen or things like that, too, as well. So,
what about the food and beverages?
Well, the food and beverage is my favorite part. One thing we, you know, we don't want people to think we just have your average bar food. I mean, it's a heavy chef-driven cuisine from everything from, you know, our delicious beef sliders. We also have lamb sliders, too, as well. Tuna tostadas. We do our own pieces here. So, yeah, just some really delectable, delicious food. And, you know, our true identity is really our crafted cocktails. You know, we have my favorite drink there is the Margarita Standoff. It's our version of your classic margarita. We also have a drink called the Barbecue on a Saturday night, which is a bourbon drink that gives you that, you know, that smoky feel if you're at a barbecue, you know. So a lot of great themed drinks for the courses. So some really good stuff here.
How do folks do this? Do they pay per person? Are there group rates? Do you get a season pass? How do I do it?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different ways that you can do it. It is, you know, $22 a person to play one of the nine-hole mini golf courses. However, you can buy it online. Just go to puttery.com. You can pay for your reservation along with your golf time. If you're looking to book a birthday party, a corporate event, or a team outing, you can also go to puttery.com to book it through that way. Somebody from our sales office will reach out to you. And that's if you want to get a food package, a drink package at that rate, too, as well. So a bunch of different offerings that we have literally for any and everybody.
Could I rent out the place? That sounds like a fun company thing. Our company should do something like that.
Hey, I think y'all should, and you definitely can rent out the place. If you want to do just a space or you want to do the entire building, we allow that too as well. So whatever you think floats your boat, we're ready for you.
And it you got to be 21, though, right?
Yeah, it's all 21 and up, so you definitely have to leave the kids at home. But it's a perfect night out if you, you know, want to bring the fellas or if you want to have a girls' night out or, you know, even a couples' night out. It's perfect for date night too as well.
They're open from noon to 2 a.m. And are you guys up and running, or when do you open up?
It's very funny you ask, because today is our opening day. We had a big launch party last night, which went really, really well. And we just opened our doors up at noon today. So we've had our first guests already come in the building. And I'm looking outside right now and seeing more guests filtering through the door.
It's good to hear, and keep that place going and vital. It's a very popular, trendy part of town, and I wish you nothing but luck over there, Clayton.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. Thank the city of Chicago for welcoming Puttery, and we're glad to be here.
Clayton Stanley is the Director of Operations. Puttery, P-U-T-T-E-R-Y, puttery.com is the website. I'd cash in the Christmas party for that. You know, we all just wander around with little bourbon drinks in our hands and tuna whatever things and play golf and yuck it up a little bit. Where was I? Okay, now it's time for more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Allstate is reportedly in talks to move its headquarters to Chicago. Bloomberg says the talks come after the company sold its suburban campus earlier this year. Allstate employs about 7,000 people in Illinois. The company previously had its headquarters in Chicago decades ago before moving to the suburbs. The report says Allstate has held discussions with Chicago officials about the move, but has yet to announce any decision. The company could still choose a different location for its headquarters. An Allstate spokesperson says the insurer is considering options for a modern headquarters in Illinois that'll support the way employees are working now and in the future. Rapper Sean Diddy Combs is buying two marijuana dispensaries and a grow facility in the Chicago area. He's purchasing the properties from Chicago-based Cresco Labs as part of a $155 million deal. Combs is buying Columbia Care stores in the city's Jefferson Park neighborhood and in Villa Park. He's also buying a production facility in Aurora. Cresco is required to sell off some assets in order to complete its acquisition of Columbia Care. Combs is also acquiring four retail stores and a cultivation asset in New York. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We're on to the business of food now, and Steve Alexander.
It's a Mr. Fizz Friday, and let's get to it right after I thank Chevy for sponsoring the business of food, the Chevy Silverado HD in particular. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Well, here we go, Jim Fizzell. Another This Is the End list of things we need to take care of as we button up the gardens and put things away. Where do you want to start?
First of all, the chemicals. Many common ones are kind of dangerous, so you need to be sure that you're going to store them in a way that, will be safe for the winter. Even gasoline and some of the things that we use all the time, cleaners and so forth, can be dangerous if they're used incorrectly. You need to store these indoors in a locked spot. Now, it's still time to make a storage locker. I have one that hangs on the wall in, the basement. It has a screen on the outside, and it has shelves in it, and it has doors that lock. Because if we ever have any of our great-grandkids around here, we want to make sure that those are not accessible to them. Keep all the labels on the containers. That's very important. You want to know what's in that container. Safety is really a state of mind. You need to think about what are the consequences of the things you do before you do them and do them in a safe way. Then order firewood for your fireplace. Make sure that the firewood is well dried when you get it. Then set up your bird feeders and buy some quality bird seed, particularly for the kind of birds that you want to feed. Then take a walk around your property. Make the final entries in your gardening journal and finish up your gardening map. Then retire indoors. Build yourself a fire with that new wood that you just got. Have a piece of pumpkin or apple pie, and you're going to be comfortable knowing your garden is ready for whatever winter brings. By the way, thanks, Steve, for making these visits possible every week. I really thank you for that, and I get a lot of comments from people, and I want to thank you for listening out there, too. We're going to see you next year again when about the time the crocuses are in bloom.
Well, it's been our pleasure, Jim. I was doing the math, and you started telling us about growing food and flowers and lawns and trees and bushes with Orion 61 years ago?
Isn't that hard to believe? And we're still so young, Steve.
Well, we sure do appreciate your expertise, Jim. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Let's spend this time with Matt Adams, principal at Deloitte Consulting, specializing in retail. You can visit them at www.deloitte.com. Is that how that works? Matt, welcome to the show. You're on WGN. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, John? Good to talk to you again.
What do you know about spending for the holidays?
It's been interesting, actually. This is the 37th year that Deloitte has conducted the holiday survey to understand how consumers are feeling nationally and in the Chicago area. And despite some concerns about the economy in a broad sense, Chicago consumers are actually planning to spend more this year, up 22% relative to last year to over $1,700.
Is that different than the rest of the country, do you think?
It is 17% higher than the national average. So whatever is going on in Chicago, consumers are really prioritizing the holiday season and celebrating with their families and friends.
Yeah, maybe that's it. They're prioritizing it. Or maybe big cities tend to have a more affluent population. I mean, it's kind of weird because everything we hear about the economy in Illinois and Chicago is bad.
That's right. The observation that we made from the survey is that consumers are planning to cut out some non-essentials in other areas. Again, like you highlighted, it's prioritizing the holiday season and family and friends, and even more than that, prioritizing experiences, going out to restaurants, having people in their homes and entertaining at home, going to concerts, or maybe even doing some holiday mini golf.
You've been listening. So,
of course.
Well, I want the company to spend that money. I don't want me to spend that money. Talk about this number, though. $1,708, you say, up 22% over last year. Chicagoans are planning on spending on the Christmas holiday, not Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get to 1700? I'm sure people didn't randomly suggest that number.
Yeah, it's first of all, I should clarify, it is the holiday season, including Thanksgiving. So,
Thank you.
That spending has even started a lot in October. One of the interesting things that I found is that it's all based on surveys. So when we say 1700, that's an average for households. So one of the questions that we ask is, how much are you planning on spending on the holidays? And we kind of dig into that to understand what it is that they're planning on spending on. And when we talk about the timing of spend, one of the interesting things that we saw this year is that people are planning on spending earlier. So by this time already, based on the survey responses, a quarter of people's budgets have already been spent on holiday season.
Hmm. Are they shopping online or are they going to brick and mortar?
Both. And relative to what we've seen in the past, online kind of continues to grow as you might expect. And in the last 2 years, I think accelerated that online shopping growth. But there's also some element where people are more comfortable even than last year in going back into stores, and the percentage of budget spent in store is actually slightly up year over year.
Well, we've already had some website promotional shopping days, so I suppose some of that $1,700 was sunk there, right?
That's right. Yeah, the between Prime Days and I know a number of retailers have engaged in similar investments in promotions over the last few weeks. And I think it's acknowledging what we saw in the survey, that people are shopping a little bit earlier and you know, looking to capitalize on that or make consumers' dollars go further with their promotions. But we're also expecting some of that to continue through the holiday season.
We're talking about Deloitte's 2022 Holiday Retail Survey. I wonder if it's a shell game. Like, you'd say, oh, great, we're spending more money, but you said we're spending less money in other areas. So maybe the net spending for a family is the same. It's just that we've shifted it from one area to another. Is that a fair read?
Certainly possible. Yeah. The what we saw in the survey is that consumers are deprioritizing some other non-essentials to make sure that their holiday season is a celebration with, again, focused on family and friends.
Well, I want to cheer this report. Is this relatively good news from a retail standpoint?
In many ways, yes, at least in the Chicago market. It's similar growth nationally, but not as aggressive as what we saw. It's also not just retailers, but I mentioned the experiences. So restaurants, concerts, in-home celebrations. So there's other areas that will benefit as well.
Matt Adams is a principal at Deloitte Consulting. Hey, Matt, let's do this more often. Good to talk to you today.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. Thanks, John.